Reverend Roberta, for your insights into your window on the past of this congregation. We have old members, new members, and those who are somewhere in between. All have insights, and I believe all benefit from hearing your perspective on the past. I'm also reminded of that famous movie, Rashomon. My son is a real film geek, so. In this Japanese classic, a thing happens. We don't have to focus on the specific thing right now, but a handful of people tell their versions of what happened. Some are self-serving, some tell the story from where they sat, and what is the truth? My metaphor blurs because in that movie there are people lying for self-serving motives about what happened, and there are, of course, here that, of course, isn't the case. Yet the truth is that different people have different perspectives on what happened here and everywhere. This leads the audience, in the case of a movie, or congregants, in the case of a congregation, to have different angles on what happened back then. And the whole story is enlivened, even created, by the large number of voices speaking into the storytelling. Maybe a better image is a drawing class. In the middle, we have a model. Let's say it's a guy, he's dressed like a student, holding his arms in this angle, sitting in a particular way. Each person sitting in the circle around the model has a different perspective on what that model is doing and how he looks. From here, maybe he looks studious or pensive, and from there, curious. Maybe he looks like he's holding a book from one angle. You get what I mean. It takes all the views of our history to build a view that is well-rounded, complete, whole. Yes, it takes many stories and memories to do that, and more on that in a few weeks. Reverend Roberta and I have known each other for close to 20 years. She may not remember this, but we met at a UU camp where she was the minister of the week, the one who helps the camp come together as a brief-lived congregation. A congregation for a week, and we did not really compare stories here, but I too use the story of Brigadoon as to what she was helping create. She was about my age and doing such a different and cool thing with her life. She was the settled or called minister in a congregation in Virginia. I wonder if perhaps my own first flitting thought of becoming a minister came out of that meeting. I wondered, would I like that profession? Could I do that? Could I help build a community? Could I serve the people and love them as she does? I think that we had one meal together. I heard her preach, and I watched her help build that community, the one for a week. And of course, the big reveal is that you were that congregation, and Reverend Roberta has shared her memories, some of her memories from that time when I first met her. Years later, we met again. By then, I was on the ministerial path, and I thought to myself, oh, I hope she will become my mentor when I'm a minister. Then, sometime later, I asked her, and she said yes. I'm so grateful to benefit from her mentorship and wisdom. When I promised to ask myself that she would be my mentor once I passed the exam that lets you ask somebody, I didn't know that you all would come to be in search for an interim. Moving on, I didn't know about any of the things that unfolded that make our path similar now. But I am your interim minister, and in the congregation where she and a long lineage of ministers have served. But now we're in the present. What do I see? I often think of this congregation as small but mighty. I am no boxing fan, but the words fighting above its weight comes to me again and again. congregations with about your membership level don't often have a beautiful sanctuary like this one. Their space doesn't often have room for the many kids this congregation has. They don't usually do the work, the hard work, of maximizing the revenue stream for their congregation through multiple subtenant rentals. Thank you to those who make this happen, most particularly Terry Dick. Congregations this size don't often have a robust group of programs, such as book clubs, covenant groups, exennial gatherings, support groups of various kinds, and regular potlucks and other social gatherings. Thank you to the planners and organizers who make this programming real. I know of congregations much larger than this that aspire to offering that level of community development and engagement. Worship here is strong. Many smaller congregations struggle to fill the pulpit Sunday after Sunday, and mornings can devolve in those congregations into a public interest lecture, not worship. You have committed to have a minister in the pulpit most Sundays, even during this interim window, when the minister is only half time. You could have chosen for your interims to focus on other activities, governance or whatever, but you chose to support worship as one of your highest priorities, as you told me when you interviewed me. And equally or more important, you have a group of committed worship associates and soundmasters that ensure that worship services are deep. Music is provided through the choir, band, Andrew, various accompanists. Thank you all for your contributions to the services we find so enriching, and I include myself in that. Pastoral care here is amazing. The Pastoral Care Committee and your minister support congregants in health, life crisis, and situations involving a renewal of an old trauma. The care and attention this committee gives to congregants as they come and go from hospital stays or other supportive needs is remarkable. Well done, Pastoral Care Committee. Thank you. Your governance structure is strong and right-sized. It's actually about this piece that I told this story about the three bears. Many congregations have overly large boards that involve themselves in micro decisions that don't need their attention. Other congregations of this size slip into a very small executive team approach, which gives way too much power to a few, often longtime, often big donor members. All the interims in my interim training were taught to look for governance structures that were too big or too small, but yours, to borrow Goldilocks' refrain, is just right. It's a fit. It leads and does its job with skill. It focuses on policy and the big picture, and it lets the parts of the church that don't need its input do what they need to do. Yay to the board and makers of the governance structure that wisely proposed the current approach. You have a great communications team. There are congregations much larger than this one that have websites and communication materials that look like they are from the 80s. Yours look fresh and it's up to date. Well done. You have a functioning nominating committee, and most of what you set out to do as a church, you do. You scaled back on activities when you decided to drop to half-time ministry for the interim years. And that, too, was a careful, even strategic choice to guard resources so you could call your next minister with a guarantee of a full-time salary. You have lots of kids. Lots of kids and people of all ages. At many, dare I say, even most congregations this size, what I would look out and see are gray heads. I'm an older person. I'm good with older people. And there's a vitality of a congregation that has all ages, as this one does. Complementing that, your religious education approach is strong. While you're still in the process of finalizing the hire of the religious education associate, the hard work of a relatively small group of volunteers provides quality religious education for that passel of young ones you saw up here. We have childcare for the youngest, and this congregation is determined to do right by all of its members, whatever their age. What a blessing. And I know, that as much as I've said here, and as many people as I've seen contributing to the richness of this congregation, I've missed somebody. Maybe we haven't really met yet, and I don't understand what you're doing that needs to be done and is now being handled quietly in the background. Or I've just slipped a cog and missed thanking you at this time. There it is. As I've said, so much going on here in this small but mighty place. It's hard to name it all. At any church, there are a few things that you wish were being done with more vigor than current volunteering allows. The treasurer position has been empty for a while, and an acting person has done a fabulous job with that. But he's let us know he really does want the temporary gig to end. A stewardship team has yet to be formed for this year, and both membership team and religious education really could use some extra volunteers. And I know that you will all be glad to get back to a more active social justice focus. I'm aware and want to name that there have been losses here too. Beloved ministers who left, congregants who have died or moved or no longer participate in our community. As Wendell Berry writes about grief and loss and starting over again, be still in haste. How quietly I begin again from this moment, looking at the clock, I start over. So much time has passed and is equaled by whatever split second is present. From this moment is the first. You don't get to be a congregation with over 20 years under its belt without loss and starting over again and again and again. I'm new here. Actually, I'm a new minister, as you all know. So naturally, my friends and colleagues keep asking, how is it going? I honestly tell them that I love it here. I love the heart in this place. The way folks just keep on working, like Goldilocks, to find the just right way of going about things. The way you keep fighting above your weight and making quality church happen. I don't think that it's a coincidence that first Reverend Roberta and then I, and doubtless others in between, fell in love with you early in our ministries. You have so much to offer one another and the community and your ministers, including a new minister. As a former blonde little girl, I empathized with Goldilocks. Yeah, she was trespassing, and when she was found out, she ran out of the space without apologizing for breaking the chair or eating the oatmeal or mussing up the bed, and she never came back. That, of course, is not your future. I've spoken with other churches, and they can't get their search committee together. They're struggling to pull together the packet of materials candidates need to see to make a choice as to which congregations interest them. I am so proud of you that you are on top of all of that, on top of every detail and of the whole process. And I actually have to ask you to give a round of applause to the people working so hard on that. And the packet about to go up online at the UUA. In a word, you are a church that says yes. Gregory Orr writes, if to say it once and only once, then still to say yes. And say it complete. Say it as if the word filled the whole moment with its absolute saying. Later for but, later for if. Now only the single syllable that is the beloved, that is the world. This is a church that has said yes again and again and will continue to do so. I know that. Which of course brings us to your future. I see your future is bright. You are on your way to call a new minister who will stimulate you and challenge you and support and love you in new ways none of your former ministers have done. All of your ministers have loved you. But the thing about a new minister, let me say this again, is that they will love you in new ways, currently unimaginable ways. Your new settled minister will develop a shared vision with you, a new way of getting it just right. Churches are like books. You never know what the next chapter will bring, though you can tell you are reading a book with a wonderful next chapter, even if you haven't even opened the page. Blessed be. Ashe and Amen.